It is one of the most famous scenes in contemporary movie history. An injured scientist sitting in the back of a Jeep when he hears and feels impact tremors, indications of the coming of a Tyrannosaurus Rex. And suddenly the T-Rex burst through the forest just about the time the scientist's companions reached the Jeep. And the T-Rex is starting after them, and they're trying to speed away, and the driver looks in his side view mirror to see this great T-Rex full in the mirror with these words, rather disquieting words across it. Objects in mirror are closer than they appear. We accept that phrase because we know that what we see isn't always necessarily what is. We accept the fact there are optical illusions in our experience. We see the stick in the water, it appears to be bent, but we know it's not. We're driving down the interstate on a hot day. There appears to be water on the horizon, but we know it's a mirage. The car makers put those words on the side view mirrors because they know optical illusions can be fatal. Jesus says these words to us because optical illusions in relationships can be fatal. Our Lord says we think we see the splinter in our neighbor's eye, which may or may not be there, but we are oblivious to the log, to the beam that's in our own. Optical illusions can be fatal. What we think we see isn't necessarily reality. When I think of this passage, what comes to my mind is my childhood, where those teachers used to give those nefarious little things called pop quizzes. Remember those? You took the pop quiz, and then you traded papers with the guy next to you, and you graded his paper, he graded yours. I kept a close eye on the guy grading my paper. And I had a variety of reasons why every wrong answer was actually right. That 9 was really a 4. I misunderstood that question. That material wasn't covered on the test, on the reading. And I was genuinely offended when these perfectly reasonable explanations were not accepted by my grader. On the other hand, while I was grading his paper, I was the model of rectitude. Right is right, wrong is wrong, there's no gray area. That's what Jesus is saying. Our attitude toward reality goes a long way toward coloring our understanding of reality. When we are grading ourselves, when we are grading our character, we tend to use a very broad, tolerant, gracious standard. But when we are grading someone else's character, we tend to be rather rigid and unyielding. Our Lord says, "Judge not, lest ye be judged." The truth is, you and I gain so much pleasure out of criticizing each other. And it's a fun thing to do because there's so much wrong with all of us. There's plenty of material for discussion. I used to keep a cartoon on my office door. It's got about a dozen people in it, all wearing sweaters, and each is picking something off the shoulder of the other. And the caption reads, "Lint pickers, they're everywhere." It could just as easily read nitpickers. They're everywhere. We're all quick to look at others and critique, to criticize, to judge. And our Lord says, wait a second. When you do that, when you fixate on the splinter in your neighbor's eye and ignore the beam in your own, Your fixation is a way of simply projecting your own insecurity. When you fixate on the splinter in your neighbor's eye and ignore the beam in your own, it's simply a way of not dealing with your own foibles and fallacies and flaws. Jesus is trying to be very practical with our understanding of ourselves and how we relate to others. The splinter and the beam, they are images of Jesus drawn from construction, because our purpose is meant to be to build each other up, to encourage each other, to nurture each other, to nourish each other. And here's the thing. You and I really do want to help each other. We are full of good advice. I had a rare privilege one time listening to a conversation with one of my church members to one of his neighbors. And he was saying to the neighbor, "You've got to come to our church. There's so much positive going on. It's vibrant. It's vital." And I'm sitting there thinking, yeah, and you hadn't been there but once in the last 8 weeks yourself. Having worked with prisoners who have messed up their lives in 100 ways, I know that they are full of good advice, which they may not take and have not taken. From the death row inmate to the most skilled counselor, human beings want to give good advice to other people. We have a primal instinct to share good advice. And sometimes we don't seem to realize that our help is not help. Sometimes what we think is constructive criticism comes across as a belittling attack. Sometimes what we think is positive feedback is actually raw and graceless. Sometimes what we think is encouragement only serves to humiliate and alienate. Sometimes our help is not help. How do we recognize help that's not help? Jesus nails it. Two little words, and he nails it. Let me. Jesus says, you say to your brother, let me take that speck out of your eye. Let me. What that says to the other person is, I don't think you can help yourself. I don't think you can do it yourself. I'm superior. I can help you. Think of a great story involving Yogi Berra, that great American. Yogi, longtime catcher for the New York Yankees, finally retires and they hire him as a hitting instructor. First day of spring training, and Yogi's trying to explain to this young man how to hit properly. But amazingly enough, the man can't understand what Yogi's trying to say. And Yogi says, here, let me show you. And he grabs the bat out of the guy's hands. And then he looks at the young man's face. And he knows he has failed as a coach. He realizes in that moment he must work as hard at articulating his knowledge as he worked honing his skills at a player. True encouragement, true teaching builds rather than humiliates. Well, that's true. We are pretty good at seeing the faults of each other. We're pretty good at piercing each other's self-deceptions and evasions. We have very highly skilled antenna. But does it occur to us that if we are so good at piercing other people's self-deceptions, other people's evasions, noting other people's flaws, that our foibles and flaws and weaknesses are not equally laid bare to them? Could we live with the delusion that everybody else's flaws are apparent, but our sins are covered. Jesus says, that's exactly right. That's exactly right. We live under that delusion of the beam that we ignore and the splinter to which we're so fixated. We hold before ourselves an image of the person we want to be. And we pretend that's the person we are. Jane Pauley, the journalist, says at home she has a mirror in which she is a size 6. She knows the mirror is a lie, but she loves the lie. You and I often hold up to ourselves an image of the person we want to be and pretend that's the image we are. It's a lie, but we love the lie. And it closes our ears and our eyes to hearing and seeing those things we need to hear and see in order to improve. So here we are. We see the splinter in someone else's eye, ignore the beam in our own. We're full of good advice, but we're oblivious to our weakness. We want to build someone else, but we don't want to spend the time addressing our own flaws. How do we move forward? Jesus says very clearly, start with the beam in your own eye. Spend your time addressing your own flaws, your own foibles, your own weakness, your own sin. And then you will be more equipped to deal with the splinter in someone else's life. Thomas A'Kempis, the writer of the great devotional classic, The Imitation of Christ, said to his fellow believers, look, if we will spend our time focused upon addressing our weaknesses, our flaws, we will have very little time to spend criticizing the flaws of others. Walk into any barbershop, and I guarantee you'll find a guy there who can say he can solve the Iran nuclear treaty and the world economy in a half hour. Browse through your neighborhood, you'll find some guy saying, I don't know why those people in the Middle East can't get along with each other. I don't know why Northern Ireland has such trouble. And you know that same person is not speaking to his neighbor or someone in his family. Jesus says, see yourselves for who you are. Don't fixate on the splinter in someone's life. Focus first on the beam in your own. Then you can be a positive example. In my mind's eye, I see an old man who, when he was a younger man, was an usher in my church. And he came to church almost every Sunday, snockered. You could smell it on his breath. It was amazing he could find a pew, much less escort somebody else to it. But by the power and grace of God, he was released from that addiction. His life became alcohol-free. And because of that, because he dealt with this great beam that was weighing down his life, his testimony was incredibly powerful. He helped hundreds of people through AA because they knew his story. They knew his weakness and the bondage from which God had delivered him. Deal with the beam in your own eye, and then you can help someone with their splinter. Why would Jesus pause to give us advice like this? Because he doesn't want us to waste our existence. He wants us to understand, as Christians, we are to be about one thing: becoming holy and righteous as defined by
Christ. Holy and righteous as defined by Christ. There is nothing more pitiable than two people looking at each other with smug attitudes of self-superiority. There's no growth where people say, well, I'm just as good as that person. You probably are. And that's the problem. Our image, the mirror we are to keep before us, is the mirror of the perfection of Christ. When we put that mirror before our eyes, then we understand we all stand under judgment. And we all stand under God's affirmation. We all stand under God's encouragement. We all live by God's grace. When we put before our eyes the mirror of Christ, our life becomes a pilgrimage of trying to appropriate the image of Christ in our behavior, in our attitude, in our actions, in our words. And when we do that, we have very little time to spend trying to improve others by our critique. But we might improve them by our example if we appropriate the image of Christ. Our Lord says to us very simply, the fool you see best is not the fool across the street. The fool you see best is not the fool across the pew. The fool you see best is the one in the mirror. Objects in mirror are much closer than they appear. But Christ is closer still. Christ is closer still. And that is our hope and our joy. May we pray together. Lord, you speak to us like we ought to be spoken to, truthfully, candidly, and powerfully. You speak to the inclinations of our heart to think we might sit in judgment over others when in fact we stand judged. But you are our judge. And you are also our Savior. May we claim that and thus find release through your Spirit. In the name of the Christ we pray. Amen. We invite you to respond to the invitation of the Christ to claim his strength, to claim his image, claim him as Savior and Lord. Splice your life into this community by transfer of letter or by statement. Come, make church with us as we seek to improve in the image of Christ. Come as we stand to sing together.